It's time now for The Brian Billick Show. Brought to you by Tiger Direct, your connection to awesome technology. Now, here's the winning head coach from Super Bowl 35, the NFL Network's Brian Billick with the big dog Joe Rose on the legendary 560 QAM.
Hey, and don't forget, man, SeatGeek, helping a lot of people. The SeatGeek app is your ticket to find incredible savings on sports tickets. SeatGeek.com searches 100-plus ticket sites at once, showing you every ticket on the market and saving time and money in the process. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code COACH. SeatGeek will give you $20 back on your first purchase of $120 or more. SeatGeek is your ticket to Miami sports tickets and to the Super Bowl. And with that, we bring in former head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, Coach Billick. How are you this morning, Brian?
Doing great.
Hey, Coach. Well, there's only one topic so far. I tried not to do much on it today, but I got to ask you about Deflategate. Coach, you've been there. You've dealt with it. I said, I'll bet you Belichick doesn't even know about the footballs on game day. Would you agree with that or not necessarily?
Well, first off, it's regrettable that this is what we've got to be talking about going into what should be a great Super
Exactly.
Bowl.
Exactly, yeah.
And we've got to emphasize that we don't know what happened, and
right.
we don't know who was involved. And until we do, you know, it's speculation. It's all theoretical. I respectfully disagree. I can't. Bill Belichick is there is nothing that goes on in this organization that Bill Belichick doesn't know about.
Okay.
Clearly, if indeed, and this is the hard part because mm-hmm. whether it makes a difference or not is immaterial. Whether it's at 10 pounds or whether it's at 14 pounds, the rule is very specific. And this was, if indeed happened, was not accidental. Someone had to willfully deflate the balls for the obvious reasons that have been talked about. And that's disturbing. What disturbs me is when I listen to the conversations, and then having been a part of this profession for 40 years, and these are my contemporaries,
mm-hmm.
going, well, everybody does that. Well, no, we don't. And that's offensive. Anytime you get lumped in with a group like that, no, you don't. So I don't know that we'll ever know,
yeah.
that we'll ever find out. But to my mind, you know, it's the act itself as opposed to the actual consequence of does deflating the ball help or not help. Doesn't matter. It was willful. Someone had to willfully, after the officials had checked the ball, alter the ball in a way that's illegal. To me, that's an egregious offense.
Well, one guy that would definitely know that I think we all agree on would be Tom Brady, right? I mean, Tom Brady, he knows.
Oh, it's absolutely inconceivable that Tom Brady didn't know that the balls were inflated differently. Now, did he orchestrate it?
Right.
Did he arrange it? But it's inconceivable that the quarterback, I find it hard to believe that the officials handling the ball on a regular basis didn't recognize it sooner.
Right. And then the other one, I know you've heard this one. Hey, it's not a big deal. They would have won anyway. It was a 45-7 game. It could have been worse. What do you say when you hear that? It wouldn't have mattered.
Beside the point.
Okay.
It's this is not about the winning or losing and whether the game should be vacated. The Patriots were a better team. This is more about the integrity of the game and that you can't challenge that. You can't, the fans, you know, we talk about, God, thankfully this league has not had a betting scandal since the mid-60s.
Right.
Because they knew that would cut at the heart of the faith in this game at so many levels. And if this is excused, then what else is excused? And so the integrity of the game in that regard has to be above question, and this is what that challenges. The physical act of deflating the ball and how much it affects the game and how important, yeah, this is much ado about nothing. But more importantly, you know, this is a willful flaunting and violating of the rules. And if,
right.
if this, then what else?
All right, I got to switch over. There's a bunch of things I love talking to you about. One of them is Mariota from Oregon. Have you seen enough from him, Coach, to make him a top one or two pick in the NFL draft?
Well, I can't say. Yeah, I've seen them play, obviously,
yeah,
in watching the games and getting ready for the combine and the draft, which I'll do after we're done with the Super Bowl. And I'll start to, you know, dive into and look at it a little bit. I haven't done anywhere near that degree.
Okay.
At it. At first blush, there is absolutely no reason why Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston can't be good NFL quarterbacks. They have all the prerequisite physical skills. But so did Jamarcus Russell, Vince Young, Ryan Leaf, Tim Couch. I mean, the list goes on and on. Obviously, the concern about Jameis Winston is not so much the off-the-field issues, but what that tells you about his, in my opinion, functional intelligence. Marcus Mariota, biggest concern I have is when I hear his head coach say, well, he'll be very successful in the NFL if he goes to the right system.
Right.
I that's a bit of a qualifier that concerns me, you know, before I actually look at the film, whether he has the mental and the physical stamina to perform in the NFL. The hard thing, as we've talked about many times, with the system that they run, you can only, I've heard it quantified, you can only take about 10-15% of the throws that he makes and say, okay, these translate into the NFL. So if he's a 450-500 throw guy, you're talking about 50-60 throws that I have to make a decision now. Am I going to give this guy, you know, incredible amount of money and make him the face of my franchise and put my coaching career on him as a first-round draft choice?
Got to ask you about the Senior Bowl. It's going on right now. I'm always curious. Every team treats it differently. Did you like to have your whole staff there to evaluate everybody, or were you one where we'll just take a few guys and we'll bring back scouting reports?
Yeah, you have to be careful. You can only get so much. You got to really focus on a couple players, otherwise you see nothing.
Okay.
For the coaches, and I know the scouts sometimes get irritated that the coaches are there, because at the end of the day, this is a coaching convention. There's not a lot of work going on, I promise you. And there's some coaches will buff up at that and say, no, I'm out there. It's a coaching convention because there are jobs open. Everybody's down there. And it's not until you obviously get into the combine that there's actually, I would say most coaches, because most coaches will go to the Senior Bowl, they'll have them a week or two off. Most coaches will give their staffs off, come back and start getting ready for the combine. You might get a cursory look at the players at the Senior Bowl, but it's more about hooking up with your buddies and talking about who's getting what job.
Have you ever fallen in love, just to follow up on that, from the combine, I'm going to put these together, the combine and the Senior Bowl. Have you ever just, with an open mind, show up and kind of know about a guy and just fall in love with him after watching him work out for 3 days in pads and then at the combine? Is it ever like, holy smokes, I really like this guy now?
Yeah, and you got to be careful about that. We talk about it all the time. We'll talk about it when we get to the combine. It's a more limited coaching perspective. The scouts have been around these guys all year long, so they're less apt to be drawn into that. Well, a coach shows up. He has a limited view of the players at this point, and he looks at a guy going, oh, this guy's fantastic. Well, he doesn't have the full body of knowledge to find out what this guy, his entire career has looked at. If it prompts you then to go, oh, I got to go back and look at this guy more and really bring your focus to it, that's all well and good. But you've got to be careful that you just don't fall in love with just the one exposure at the Senior Bowl and then how he looks at shorts in combine.
All right, and I got to go back to that last game. It was one of the greatest finishes, greatest comebacks I've ever seen. I was one of the guys that said, hey, that last interception with 5 minutes left, I said, holy smokes, Green Bay is going to upset, actually kick them around pretty good in Seattle. I never thought this would happen, and then Seattle came back. Where's that rank for you watching games?
It's spectacular. Someone was quantifying that the percentage of chances once Seattle was down 16 or 19 to nothing, just before they tried the fake field goal, that the percentage of things based on the time and the score differential and yada, 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 whoever figures that kind of stuff up, said there was only a 4% chance that Seattle could do all the things that it needed to do. Mm. Isn't that what this game is about? Isn't that fantastic? And I think the difference in the game is that Green Bay was consumed with all the things that were happening, as opposed to Seattle, and you give Pete Carroll and his staff a great deal of credit for staying focused on, don't worry about all the things. Let's just worry about executing the fake field goal. Let's just worry about just getting the onside kick. Let's just worry about one play at a time getting down in scoring position. Then let's worry about the two-point. They did that, and they compartmentalized and performed brilliantly, where Green Bay looked like they, you know, it was more of an emotional, oh, my God, they got a fake field goal. Oh, my God, they got the onside kick. Oh, my God, they driven down and scored. Oh, my God, they got the two-point play. Was overwhelmed, oddly enough, in that they were such a prohibitive favorite once they got up the way they did. They seemed to be overwhelmed by the circumstance.
I was going to say, it seemed like there were about 15 different plays, just doing talk radio and talking to everybody and everybody going, oh, this play was the difference. Was there any one play for you that was really stood out in the difference in that game?
Well, the onside kick, and what was so regrettable is, you know, that the young man Bostic, and you felt for the special teams coach Slocum, because this kid is there primarily for special teams. Then Green Bay has more tight ends and linebackers than anybody in the league because they believe in that body type, that 6'3 to 6'5, 235 to 250, that can give you special teams presence, that have that utility. This guy's like the fourth tight end, so you know he's there primarily for special teams. And in every onside kick meeting since training camp in the regular season, it is one thing: take out the front wave of the kickoff team. That is your job. And for some reason, he goes snow blinds, drops out, thinks he can get the ball. It's regrettable. To me, it was the two field goals, given the opportunities they had. I texted my production system because, you know, some study for game playbook and then the writing I do. So, you know, we kind of back and forth what we saw, and we just keep notes, and then we summarize at the end to go forward with our obligations. And after the second field goal, I texted him, it's over, Green Bay loses.
Wow.
The fact that they had to go for field goals, missed that opportunity, you knew it was going to come back and haunt them.
I know it's early. Do you feel it's a pick'em game right now. Do you feel strongly about one team or the other? Both of them have so much experience in big games.
Yeah, usually when you're exactly right. You come in this early and you have an inclination, oh, I think it's going to be so-and-so, and you build that case in your mind, and sometimes it flops. I can't remember the last time we started a Super Bowl as a pick'em with the odds makers, and I think that's a fair one because that's my first instinct. Boy, you know what, I can think about five scenarios why Seattle will win this game, but I can give you five scenarios why New England wins as well.
Coach, great stuff. Really appreciate you coming on, man. We beat it all up today. Thank you so much.
Sounds great.
All right, Brian Billick, Super Bowl-winning coach, analyst for NFL Network and NFL.com.